Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network.
Does Phase 1 of the MCU hold up today? Can superheroes play nice with each other? We are going to talk about all this and more in tonight's episode of Systematic Ecology. We are the Priest of the Geeks, and we are here for another episode of Countdown to Doomsday, where we're talking about all of the MCU movies and the Fox X-Men movies leading up to Avengers Doomsday at the end of this year. I am one of your hosts, Kevin Schaefer, and I am here thrilled to talk with Evan Garcia. Evan, how are you today?
Doing good. It's been a good Sunday now as we are recording, and I'm looking forward to this because I've got some fun memories for some of these movies, and it's crazy. It's been over 10 years for this.
Dude, it's just... Yeah. It's wild. Like, I mean, looking at, like, that's why I wanted to do this series. It's just, like, look at everything retrospectively. And, yes, some of these I've seen a million times. But others, it's been quite a while. And it's really fun looking at, you know, oh, what did I think of it back then? What how does it hold up now? It's just been really fun. And I'm excited to have you on this one. Because, like, so far, the other episodes in the series, we did, me and Christian did, and Andy, the first one on the first Fox X-Men trilogy. And then me and Christian did the beginning of the MCU. Now we're on to Thor. We're on to the first Captain America and the Avengers. So got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm very excited. And before we get started, I want to thank you all for being here. Want to thank you all for, whether you're watching on YouTube right now or you're listening to this later, thank you for being here. If you are new to Systematic Ecology, welcome. We really appreciate you. As always, like any podcast will tell you, you know, like, subscribe, share, tell your friends about us. And it really helps the show. And if you want to learn about ways to support us more and learn more about the show, you can click on the link in the description and find out ways to support us, find out ways to connect with us on social media. And you also get a shout out on the show if you are one of our supporters. And I would like to shout out today, Russell Gentry. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for
Russell.
Your support of the show. Absolutely. We really appreciate it. And to all of our supporters, all of our listeners, we could not do this without you. So really appreciate it. Well, Evan, before we get into the main topic tonight, let's get into a quick lightning round where we talk about what we've been geeking out on lately. So, I will, well, very much in line with tonight's episode, watch the premiere of Daredevil Born Again Season 2 the other day. Really enjoyed it. I think the new season's off to a great start. And, you know, I know you and I have talked about the show in the past and, you know, the Netflix Marvel shows. So I'm really liking the season of Born Again at the start. I think it's pushing Matt in a really interesting direction. I love that, spoiler alert, but I love that Matt and Karen are back together. I really love their dynamic and their chemistry. So I'm very happy there. Yeah, and I also think that in comparison with the previous season, we talked about this a lot last year, but with season one, it was kind of a mixed bag in terms of, very much in terms of creative directions, because they did an overhaul, a full creative overhaul about midway through production, where, you know, originally the show was conceived as separate from the Netflix continuity. Then they decided to pivot and bring back all the canon there, bring back Karen and Foggy and Bullseye and everything. And so that very much changed the trajectory of the show. And I thought as best they could, they handled it well. But now, because all of that baggage is kind of in the past, we have a more cohesive, consistent vision going forward. And yeah, really enjoyed the first episode. I also checked out the Born Again podcast that's on Disney Plus. You can watch and sing with the show. It was really good. Yeah. Fun fact there is that they actually revealed that the reason Born Again happened is because of Spider-Man No Way Home, because of Matt Murdock's cameo in that movie. Brad Winterbaum said when that happened, it was like, we have got to make Daredevil. We got to bring Daredevil back now. There's no choice.
That reminds me, I have a meme that I was going to post to our socials. So if you guys want to look out for one of those silly memes that I put out, to check threads, check Instagram, Facebook, like all that stuff. So for mine, I've also done the Daredevil season one of Born Again season two or episode one. And it was one of those things where I came in with high expectations and it didn't meet it. So I gave it the second chance and I love it. It's great. It's a great start to a new season that, like you said, is not hindered with a past or some kind of baggage. You know, they are generally going through a storyline that they have planned out. It seems like it. And my favorite thing to watch that I can't wait to see how this develops is a Fisk and his relationship to Shaggy,
Matthew Lillard. Yes.
Dynamic is going to be insanity. Yes. I think we're going to see some crazy stuff between those two guys, and I'm excited for that. And I want to throw in, I finally caught One Piece, and me and my wife we binged all both seasons, and it's so good.
You ever watched the anime, or you're just watching live action?
I came in cold turkey, but we plan on starting to watch the anime.
Gotcha.
With our son, cool. He wants to watch it too, so I think we're gonna do that.
I know it's very popular. I do want to check it out at some point. I know with fans of the anime, they have there's mixed reception in terms of the live action.
So many episodes.
Absolutely. But awesome, Evan. Well, excellent. Great picks. And we will definitely be talking about Born Again on the show in the near future. So if you're a fan, stick around. But let's get into it. So, as we've been doing with this series, we're kind of tackling three movies an episode, because with the amount of movies we have to cover, that we're going to be hopefully trying to get to all of them before the release of Doomsday at the end of the year. But, I kind of, mapped out a schedule, and I figured three movies at a time is a good way to dissect. So the way we're doing this is we're, looking at each movie, we're talking about, what we thought of at the time of its release. We're looking at it retrospectively, and how it compares with the rest of the MCU. So, Evan, let's get to our first movie in this segment, and that is the first Thor film from 2011, directed by Kenneth Branagh, of course, starring Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston, Anthony Hopkins, and Natalie Portman. So I'll give just a little bit of intro about this movie. So this is obviously another origin film in the MCU. Thor had never made any kind of real big screen appearance, but you'd seen him in some animation. But even then, he was a more obscure Marvel character.
He was a dig. Like if you brought him up, it was some a real nerd cred.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And in the comics, he had iconic runs from Walter Simonson, but absolutely. He was not a pop culture mainstay at this point of his intro. Very similar to Captain America and Iron Man. That's the thing I think we forget in 2026 is that these characters were not always staples of mainstream culture like they are today. This movie, it covers the origin. It shows Thor as a more cocky, arrogant, character trying to regain his honor after going to war without Odin's approval and then getting banished to Earth. And he has to redeem himself in order to pick up his hammer Mjolnir again. And then, you know, of course, we get the intro to Thor and Loki and that relationship and how it, you know, lays a lot of groundwork for the rest of the MCU. Evan, before I share my thoughts, can you tell a little bit about your background? Well, first off, because this is your first time on this series, my question is, were you watching all of the MCU movies from the beginning, or, you know, like, did you kind of came on later? What was kind of your background?
Yeah, for sure. I started it, and with the one that I like to include is the Ang Lee Hulk. I will go to the mat for that film. It's a great film. But yeah, me and my dad, we watched all these Marvel movies, the X-Men, Blade, and the Spider-Man films, and we walked out of Spider-Man 3, but that's a whole nother story. So yes, and I was very much into the film scene back then, and I knew when there was a new concept art dropping, and I remember being so stoked for this kind of stuff. And I was like, man, when they had the tease for Thor, what film was he teased in?
Iron Man 2 in the post.
Iron Man 2, so
I remember. They have Mjolnir in the desert.
Yeah, yep. And Agent Coulson finds it and stuff like that. Yeah. So I was just like, wait a minute. I think I know what they're doing here. Like, they are really doing this. So they are really going for it. And I was so stoked because this character is my dad's favorite character. Like, he's his favorite superhero character, period. So I was like, all right, cool, Dad. And so I didn't get to see this movie when it first came out because we were moving and I was finishing college and I got married the year before and blah, 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 blah. So I kind of forgot about the film. And then I caught it with my dad at a dollar theater and I freaking loved it. It was worth it. And I thought Hemsworth was the perfect guy for it, but his eyebrows were not perfect for it. Natalie Portman coming from the Star Wars world, and and the director Kevin Branagh, I remember that being a huge deal. Like, dang, he's a top tier director. Like, what is he doing with the superhero genre? Like, so I remember that. And then Tom Hiddleston comes out of nowhere with his performance and he's instantly everybody's favorite. And so, yeah, I've got some fond memories of this. I've seen it only once more since then, and I don't remember it too much. And I kind of don't want to spoil it for myself. So, yeah.
I'm glad you were able to say some positive things. See, that is really cool because I always love hearing what people's favorite superhero favorite comic book character is. And like, especially when it's something unique. It's like, I mean, you know, you hear so many people. I'm one of the, like, mm-hmm. Batman is my favorite. And like, you know, all the obvious ones. I love when you hear someone, it's like, yeah, Thor is my favorite mm-hmm. Comic book character or like Ant-Man or something like that, yeah. You know, like, and so that's really cool to see. So I imagine that made an impact. So I'm glad you were able to say some nice things here, but because I do have some negative ones to say about this.
Sure, right? Sure.
But like, well, actually, let me look at it. So from thinking back to 2011, because I mean, I said it on the last episode that I have seen every MCU movie in theaters, like from, you know, I talked mm-hmm. about in the episode we did on Iron Man. Like, I remember, even though I wasn't as familiar with that character other than some passing familiarity with the cartoons and whatnot, I was still really excited about it from day one because I was in middle school. I was like at the mall with a friend and like we were looking at the concept art for the first Iron Man. So I was very, and like, that was really cool. And then that movie was great. Still one of my all time favorites. And then, you know, this like 2011 was interesting because there were a lot of summer blockbusters that year, ups and downs, but I was going to all of them. So it was like this, it was, Green Lantern, Super 8, which is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Captain America, which we'll talk about a little bit. So there were a lot of blockbusters back to back. And this was when I was starting to like blog and, you know, really talk about movies and everything. And so, I mean, I think at that time I thought this one was perfectly fun. I mean, I liked, you know, the character overall. And, you know, it was a fun summer of big blockbusters and, the amount of superhero movies coming out, like that was when it was exciting. There was no superhero fatigue because it was just like, wow, they're making movies about Thor and Green Lantern. Like, what are you, what's coming next? Like that. Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, right. But like for the most part, I mean, hey, the fact that like, you know, they're making these at all, I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty into it.
And they're putting money behind it. Like they have Hopkins and like I said, Kenneth Branagh. So it's like, dang, they are really going for it.
Very much going for it. And like, you know, and I mean, Hemsworth and Hiddleston, fun fact is that Hiddleston originally auditioned for Thor. But like, you know, you can't see him as anyone else but Loki. Mm-hmm. But like, it was great casting around there. So I enjoyed it at the time. This is one where, again, this is about watching these movies retrospectively, looking at it now. Yeah. Because I am doing a rewatch of each one as we're doing this series. And it was interesting because like doing the Iron Man 2 and Incredible Hulk episode, it was fun because like Iron Man still love it. Iron Man 2 and Hulk both surprised me in terms of like, you know, they always got bad reps. Like I particularly actually really enjoyed Incredible Hulk on a rewatch. And Iron Man 2 is still quite entertaining. It has its flaws, but it's entertaining. I have to say, looking at these movies objectively, retrospectively, I think this is the first flop in the MCU in terms of quality.
Whoa,
in terms of like, I mean,
I did.
Yeah. I said like, I mean, and I don't mean it in the like, it was obviously not, you know, box office or anything like that. But in terms of a quality of a movie, this one was a struggle to get through on a rewatch.
Sure,
like, I mean, I think
sure.
it, like, I mean, so I think for one, I mean, a lot, because again, casting, I mean, it's great. It's really fun to see the, you know, the first time Hemsworth and Hiddleston were in these roles. Like none of that is a flaw. And you bring up Kenneth Branagh. I think it was a good director choice because he had the Shakespearean background doing Hamlet and all that. And like, exactly. And like, I mean, that, you know, you think all that would make sense. I think the biggest issues with this movie were the script is incredibly lackluster. It pretty much bounces around. It's like Shakespeare light, but it's ultimately, it's like, okay, it kind of just runs through the beats of like, does a little bit of the origin, then it does, like I said, it goes to the Frost Giant, then gets banished to Earth. And the Earth scenes are some of the most boring stuff I've seen in there. I will come back to this statement later on because right now this is going to rank as like one of the more bottom tier boring MCU entries because on a rewatch, I was just like really just struggling to get through most of it because I'm like, they're in the desert for half the time. They're in this small town. There are some funny quips between with Thor's interactions with Natalie Portman and Captain Inks and Stellan Skarsgård. Right. There are some fun moments there, but ultimately that was it. But even more frustrating was Dr. Erik Selvig. But what's even more frustrating is the Asgard aesthetic here is extremely underdeveloped. It's really bad CG.
Sure.
It's like, you know, you're talking about like the money they put behind these movies. And, I think at the time there was decent, but even then, when you compare this one with some entries we will get in this episode, I think there is a very like early 2000s video game feel to this movie where it just doesn't click for me. And the other thing too, in terms of Asgard and like some of the other characters there. So like he has his like, his three sidekicks there in the movie. And like, and with them, it's like, okay, they each kind of have like a one new thing. But when I think about like this, and then later on we get to Black Panther and how well that world is established with Wakanda and all the supporting characters are clearly defined, there's none of that here where it's like the supporting characters.
Yeah, I remember them. They were super hyped up in like the promos and stuff like that, but then they didn't do anything. I remember being excited for the guy from Once Upon a Time. He played one of them.
Casting's not bad, but it's just like, I'm curious. They're also one note.
Don't want to spoil something from a future episode, but how do you rank like this one versus the second Thor film?
And that's a good question. So, like, I'll go ahead and say I think the Thor franchise as a whole is one where they really struggled. I think Thor as a character, they did well pretty much in the earlier Avengers movies. And again, casting was always great. But, like, but as a character, and this is something I'll evaluate again more as we go along in the series, but they really struggled with them. Comparing this one to Thor 2, Thor 2 is not a good movie at all either. But I would have to say it's at least a little more entertaining, whether it's like, I mean, from what I'll have to reassess that once we get to it. But I like from what it's bad. Don't get me wrong. But like, I think with that one, at least like some of the visuals were a little more entertaining. I liked that it was like more on Asgard and they did a slightly better job with like the word. I mean, while it's still a mess of a script and everything, that was the biggest thing with here. Asgard looks really bad. The Earth stuff is boring. It just never really got going. There was never really any stakes. Like, as far as like a movie that is like the biggest kind of like trailer for what's to come, I think it's this. Like, I mean, like, it's like Captain America and Iron Man, great origin movies. We'll get to Captain America in a minute, but like, they stand on their own. This one is like, felt like the kind of obligatory, they had to make it in order to set up the Avengers, but as a movie, it doesn't stand on its own. So I think out of the Thor movie, out of the off the top of my head, like, a really, Ragnarok is the only one that's good. And even then, I don't think it's a particularly great Thor movie, if that makes sense, because it's a good action comedy, and they, like, I mean, Taika Waititi like brought his own lens and style to that, but even then it's not super faithful to who the character is. It's just a good movie on its own. But like, out of the others, I think like it's that one, and then three very bad, two terrible movies. I'll get to my opinions on those later. So this one, just like, on a rewatch, it does not hold up. And again, I don't remember. I know I didn't like, oh my gosh, love it when it came out, but I thought it was fine probably back then. I was like, okay, you know, some cool stuff on it. But it, you know, particularly because of how the effects, not just the effects, but the storytelling, everything else. This one is just like, it's there. It really doesn't, you know, again, the stakes are never there. It's like, obviously he's going to pick up his hammer, but I never really felt that struggle for him to regain his honor. None of the villains were compelling. Because even Loki here, it's like, you know, it's cool to see Tom Hiddleston in his first one, but I don't think they gave the script doesn't give him much to work with.
No.
The Frost Giants look terrible. They look like it's like a early version ripoff of the White Walkers in Game of Thrones. Even though the White Walkers came later, they look awful. And then they throw in a metal robot for Thor to fight on Earth at the end. This one, I don't know. Yeah, I'm glad you and your dad particularly enjoyed it when it came, because it's your dad's favorite superhero.
Being kind of disappointed, so overall, he's like, I'm glad this movie exists.
That's fair. I understand that sentiment, because again, for like at this time especially, we're like, wow, they're making these movies. We thought for a long time they would only make Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, and like, you know, this was a big point of like, even if not all of them are good, I get the sentiment of like, I'm glad it exists. You know. So yeah, I just say, you know, I mean, there are some cool ideas that they introduced, but they didn't really go with it. Again, the honor legacy, and you know, him trying to prove to his father that he's worthy. There was stuff they set up, but I don't think they really expanded on. And And the whole like magic and science, you know, intertwining, like that was cool. But again, they didn't really go anywhere with it. So, yeah, it's just, it's a movie. But I definitely think this is, so far in my rewatch, this is easily the weakest entry.
Is this where Idris Elba blew up? Because I think so.
Ah, right? So around that, he's introduced as Heimdall here. Yeah. He's not in it much here. No. He mainly is like guarding the bridge. But this was around that time. I mean, because at that time, it's like, I mean, because when he's making the break to movies, like, I mean, he was in The Wire before that, and he started. But yeah, this was there where he started to really get big. I think that's the biggest gift this movie gives us is. It kickstarted a lot of careers and elevated others. Yeah. So that was really cool. But but as a movie, yeah. So let's talk about something better.
Yeah.
Because I do have very nice things to say about the next one.
Right on. Let's do it.
So let's get on to Captain America, The First Avenger, also released in 2011, directed by Joe Johnston. I also want to say that this is the first MCU movie written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who in their own right are very key architects of the MCU, the Infinity Saga, because they wrote all three of the Captain America movies. And they wrote Infinity War and Endgame. And then McFeely is returning for Doomsday. Yep. So this is cool. But. I've been talking for a minute. So, Evan, do you want to like say a little bit about this movie and your background with it?
Captain America, The First Avenger. I remember thinking I don't know when, if it was leaked or whatever, but the title was kind of cheesy. I thought, I'm like, really? They're going to Avenger? It seemed too blunt and too like, okay, here, we are planning something. But then I saw the concept art for his suit and I was instantly like excited for it. I'm like, that's how you do the suit and not make it look cheesy, to not make it look like blue spandex and a weird helmet, because it was such a smart way to do the suit that it communicated a seriousness, but not a commitment to something that they weren't going to do. So I remember seeing those concept art being dropped and kind of skeptical that Chris was doing it again. I'm like, really? But who the heck is the Red Skull? Like, I didn't know much about Captain America, but I knew that he had a old 70s or 80s movie. And I remember his shield was cool, but I didn't know too much, and I think the film was pretty solid. Like what I said with the first one or with Thor, like they went all out. They got Hugo Weaving. They got
Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tommy Lee Jones, and then they even got some good supporting characters, some good like a B-roll guys, and the storyline with him and Peggy Carter was great, and him with Bucky, and the whole technology of it all, and the director, Joe Johnson. I remember thinking that I was so cool because I knew him when he was a part of Star Wars and stuff like that, and try to pull that card on people like, hey, did you know? So, yeah.
He was a student of Lucas, absolutely. Yep, yep. Yeah, yeah.
So, So overall, I really love this movie. I came out of it going, I think whatever they are doing with these films, I think for the most part, it's in good hands. So
no, absolutely. This is one I always have a like fond remembrance of, and it still very much holds up. So looking back to it in 2011 when I saw it, yeah, I mean, I was more familiar with Captain America's story. I'd seen him in cartoons and some of the comics, and like, I mean, I think I had some of the figures and whatnot. So like, I was, kind of ready going in. I like the character a lot. And I did laugh too at the of like, oh wow, they had the guy from Fantastic Four playing him now, mm-hmm. you know, and but you know, absolutely perfect casting. That was you know, I like Chris Evans just stepped right into this role of Steve Rogers. I also a fun memory I have of this one is like my dad and I saw this one when it came out, and he actually, I don't know if he still does work with this guy, but he worked with the guy UPS named Steve Rogers. Dang. so he joked about that with him the week, you know, I like after, you know, after seeing it over the weekend with me, he's like, hey, it's Captain America, you know. meeting there, like, and so that was fun, but right, yeah, exactly. So that was really cool, and but yeah, no, I really love this movie from the beginning, and it absolutely holds up. I love the pulpy World War II aesthetic of it. Yeah, I like how it's a movie that stands on its own, but it absolutely plants the seeds for the larger universe and sets up the Avengers really well. But it's not beholden to that. It very much is, much like the first Iron Man, it focuses on telling a good story and making you connect with Steve and make you connect with the rest of the cast. They teased
him in the first Iron Man. That was a fun tease. I remember that being a big deal. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, they were very much like the whole wreckage there.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They were planting the seeds very early on, and seeing it all. This is where you get to see it really come to fruition, because like, I guess, at this point, it's like, yeah, with Thor, with Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, it's like, okay, they're building stuff, but this is where it's like really like, oh yeah, no, Avengers is definitely happening now. But again, you can still enjoy this movie on its own. And I really love comparing this one with the first Iron Man, because not only do you really, you know, have a clearly defined origin story, a clearly defined character, but like the links between them, even though they are very different personalities, they come from totally different worlds. I love that their stories still mirror one another. So like, for instance, a big thing is like Erskine here, played by Stanley Tucci, the scientist who oversees the super soldier initiative. You know, he's this kind of older mentor figure who believes in Steve and is part of his life for a very brief time, but has a profound impact on him. Same thing happens with Jensen in Iron Man. And so I love, you know, that parallel there. Then obviously Howard Stark is, you know, a big part of this movie.
Cool connection.
Yes, and like, and I love how they come back to it in Avengers, where when Tony first meets Steve, he's like, "That's the guy my dad never shut up about." You know, like, I love that line. We'll get to that, but yeah, it's just like, you know, and like you said, I mean, Hayley Atwell is fantastic as Peggy Carter. It's the introduction of Bucky. You know, and like, but I, you know, what I was just saying about Thor in terms of like, yeah, it was all right at the time, but like, it really doesn't hold up today because there have been so many other movies that have been better. What I really love about this movie is like, it absolutely holds up today. I mean, I know people who are like, come on, that one's dumb, like, you know, and I'm like, no, this is like the MCU wouldn't work without movies like this. It's like, this is lays the foundation for everything that comes after that. It very much fits in time. And yes, I'm so glad you brought up Joe Johnston, because yeah, he came from the school of George Lucas. He worked on Star Wars, and you know, he directed movies like Jumanji and October Sky, which were favorites of mine as a kid.
I think that was our first
great stuff,
our first DVD back then. Yeah.
Oh, that was a favorite of ours growing up. And so so I think he very much brings the sensibilities.
I mean, he's a creative filmmaker.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I mean, it captures the World War II feel. I love the Howling Commandos. I love how they do Red Skull.
That's what they're called, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. That was fun. The best. Yeah. Oh, Neil McDonough leading in, and perfect. Kenneth Choi in there. Great casting. And yes, Hugo Weaving, absolutely perfect casting as Red Skull. He just brings that kind of, I mean, you have to have a first-rate villain here to challenge. And it's one where it doesn't feel overly cheesy. This is like a very sadistic character who is trying to surpass Hitler and, you know, and I mean, and is obsessed with the occult. And that, like, all of the Indiana Jones influence is so apparent here.
Yes, it is.
I love it. Like, I mean, it just like, because I mean, I know One of the big criticisms levied at the MCU, and I do agree with it, is that like a lot of times the style and the Marvel brand is there throughout, and it doesn't allow as much of for creativity with like director's visions. But I think this is an example where Joe Johnston really lets his unique lens and aesthetic shine here. And all the, like I said, Indiana Jones, Jumanji, all of those influences are very apparent. And as are classic World War II movies. So it just, yeah, man, it flows. It's a great, you know, it's obviously a great underdog story. And I tell you, you know, this is the one I saw with my dad, and like, you know, I think if my dad were to see an MCU movie today, he'd be like, what is going on? I'm like, yeah, you kind of have to watch 30 other movies. But like, this is a great example of one where like, you can watch this one on its own, perfectly enjoy it. And like you say, and like you said, you know, you got Tommy Lee Jones and a lot of other great actors in here, to really, you know, appeal to, yes, bring some weight and like appeal to mainstream audiences. And it just tells a good story. There's not really any point where it really lags. There are some great fight sequences, and again, it establishes everything about Steve's character and lays the foundation for him and Bucky, and it only gets better from that point on.
The special effects on his
yes,
they were huge back then. I remember seeing like the breakdowns on how they did the small version of Chris Evans, and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. And so, no, they were really, and like, and like, it's like with Thor, it's like, yeah, I think the special effects there are really weak, but this one came out in the same year, and it's like night and day. It's like, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, they really put the, and I, you know, when you're done bringing up the title, I agree, like, when they first said, I'm like, come on, do they really need the first Avenger in that? But then when you watch the movie, it fits so well because it fits in with that pulpy aesthetic, and it's both an origin for Steve and also setting up the Avengers, but it's not too overstuffed or anything.
When I was these slides, I wasn't sure to put the colon or not because they didn't have it. And usually that means it's just all one title. So
But that's the thing, so I really love this movie. I think it has a lot to say about heroism, and it introduces a very, like, golden, a Boy Scout type character without it being, like, so unrealistic, you know? It's like, you know, everyone had fallen in love with the first Iron Man movie, and he's this, like, very cocky, arrogant, egotistical protagonist, and here you have the direct opposite, but at the same time, it's like, you know, he still has some insecurities. I still love how, like, Peggy chastises him for not knowing how to talk to a woman, and like their dynamic and the chemistry there is flawless, but he's a really like grounded character. He's just a guy who wants to do what's right, and he wants to stand up to bullies, and Chris Evans just fully embraced that and gave it all his all in this role.
The only thing that I don't like about it is that I never got into a Peggy's show, Agent Carter. I just never got around to watching it, and I heard so many good things about it.
And I unfortunately have not gotten to it either, but like that's on my list this year as I'm going to try to like fill in some of my gaps because there's so much MCU stuff out there.
I was trying to remember, did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was already out already, right?
No, it came after the first Avengers.
Because remember,
like Coulson dies in Avengers, and then they show the trailer. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think was like the Avengers was summer of 2012. Uh-huh. Agents of S.H.I.L.D. was like fall of 2013, something like that.
Okay.
And I think Agent Carter was a little bit after that, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere on that run. Yeah. But very nice things about it. I love this movie. And now let's get on to the big one. The big let's eat shawarma together.
Shawarma. Nice.
I love how you put on the slide here for those not watching on YouTube. Evan's done the slides for these, and like for each one he put like director and cast, and for this one for the Avengers he just said cast everybody.
Literally everybody's in it.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Evan, when this one came out, okay, so it was May of 2012.
May 4th.
How old were you? It was Star Wars Day. Yeah.
Yeah. What's up?
How old were you when it came out? Because I was a senior in high school, so I have my, like, I want to share, you know, where I was then. But, like, do you remember, like, where you were in life?
25 or 26. I remember.
Okay, cool.
I remember vividly. We were moving out of our first apartment that we and my wife had together. We were moving to a different part of town when this movie came out, like, on that day. And her parents were they were helping us move. And I remember when we finally finished, we finally got everything to the new place, and we were all just like, ah. And then I brought it up, hey guys, you want to go watch a movie? Because I wanted to watch it so bad because it was so hyped up, man. You know, like I was in the scene, like. I couldn't wait for this movie, and I was just like, I want to go watch it. You guys want to go watch it? And they were like, yeah, sure, let's go. I was like, yes, thank God. And I remember my in-laws, they knew about the characters, but they didn't watch any of the previous movies, but they loved this film. They loved it.
Yeah.
They thought it was great. And just the comedy, the stakes were big, and aliens, and I remember just the hype around this movie. I will never forget. One of my favorite podcasts around that time was called Battleship Retention. And my buddy Tyler Smith was on it, and he was saying that he felt like we were living in cinema history, and that we've never seen something like this before. Like that we've seen it in the comics, how we had the whole build up and they had like crossovers and team up comics, but we had never really seen it in film, and we've never seen it done so good. And I just remember that always stuck with me, and saying that, yeah, we lived in, like, we can tell our kids later that we lived through a culmination of the Avengers. So, and that's a pretty big deal, I think.
I love how you say it like that, because I you know the movie Troy, at the end of it, like, it was like, let us say that we lived in the time of Achilles and Hector. But it literally is. It's like, because this is a modern mythology. It's like, for us, it's like, let our children know that we lived in the time of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers on screen.
Yes.
You know? I mean, yeah, but And I mean, for me, it was a similar thing of like, so I vaguely remember, I was just about to graduate from high school. I had about a month left, I think, you know, and so we're already, you know, pretty checked out. We're just kind of like cruising through. I could not wait to go see big time senioritis, but we were enjoying it too. Like having, you know, and so, yeah, I couldn't wait that Friday, go see this after school. And yeah, I mean, it absolutely blew my mind. I mean, I think I saw it at least three or four times, and this was the same summer as like, this was the same summer as Dark Knight Rises. And, you know, it was just all the like, but I mean, that, it, like you said, it was just like, okay, we had seen goblin movies at this point, you know, I'd been there for Dark Knight and all this stuff, but this was just a whole nother level of like, you know, regardless of like whether it's the best or not, but it just the culmination of everything, like seeing all these characters on screen at once, and it actually came together and they delivered. I mean, because this could have easily fallen apart. It's like, you know, there's easily another universe where it's like, okay, yeah, we got an Avengers movie, but it was terrible. Like, no, it was like it hit all the beats. All the characters got, you know, a storyline here. They naturally came together. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the stakes were high. You know, I think there was an element of like, you know, even though obviously they're going to save the world, but is everyone going to make it out by the end? What's going to happen? What is it? You know,
I was really skeptical about Loki being the bad guy.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that to like, to not work, but it worked. Yeah. Like, it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, we were talking about, like, I mean, the way he's written in the first Thor movie is not great. I mean, like, it's a side character, yeah. And it's like, you know, is he really the one who can challenge the Avengers? It's like, yes, that was what they did in the comics in the first iteration, but still, it's like, you know, is he the one off. They should get? And there were earlier drafts where actually Red Skull was the main villain. They were going to bring him back.
Really?
So, So there's a million directions they could have gone with, but no, it works. The humor is great. I know Josh Whedon is a very problematic figure, and that's why
he wasn't like, back then.
But back then, we didn't know. Huge. Yes, yeah, I mean. Yeah. And that was the thing, too, is like, yes, he had done movies before. He had done Serenity, but he came mainly from a TV background. Mm. Rewatching this, too, it is interesting because the way the story is structured, it's so him. And it also is, in many ways, it feels structured like a season of TV, but it still works as a movie. And because, I mean, even you could break it up in epic. It's like the first episode, you could have the intro with, you know, Loki's attack and Unshield and then starting, and then, you know, the first hour being them kind of assembling, and then the second being them kind of working together and so on and so forth. But like, but it still works as a movie, and I mean, it has all the blockbuster spectacle. It's a script and a direction that very much understands these characters. It puts them together in natural scenarios. I mean, the first time Iron Man, Thor, and Cap fight in the woods there is just, you know, I even watched a Screen Crush video recently about saying that is like one of the most important scenes in the MCU. 100%. Because like, because I mean, everything else that comes after that doesn't work without that dynamic there. It's just, I mean, it keeps you engaged. It was one of the best theatrical experiences I had had in my life up until that point. And still, I look back fondly on. Yeah.
I still don't like a Captain America suit in this. It's so tacky. Okay.
It's a little over top. Yeah.
Yeah. I still. Yeah,
I agree. No. It got better as it went along.
Hulk was fantastic in this. Hulk was. I was waiting for them to do something with the Hulk, and I knew why they couldn't do his own film. So. I was excited, and they just blended it so smoothly into this plot.
And that was the thing, like, when doing this series and I was talking, I said earlier that, like, I actually, like, enjoyed Incredible Hulk more on a rewatch than I thought I might. Mm-hmm. But you know, it still has its issues, of course. But, like, I still appreciate it. But this one is, like, you know, I mean, no disrespect to Edward Norton, but it was just, like, when, once he kind of fell out and they brought Mark Ruffalo in, Mark Ruffalo just went, I mean, for him, like, this being his first time as Banner and Hulk, he absolutely nailed it. And I love how. And that's something that it could have been, you know, he could have barely made appearances and just kind of been in the background. But I love what the script does with making him very integral to the story. And, you know, he steps right into the shoes of that character. You see his hesitancy to even be a part of this because he's just finally been getting the Hulk under control and he doesn't want to risk anything. And he's like very level headed, but still the tensions are high. They're all butting heads with each other. And it's like, yes, you know, that it's going to, Loki is relying on that. And yeah. Right. And very much all of that lays the ground work for Civil War later on. But still here you see all the banter, you see that this group of unlikely players put together I mentioned the line, you know, that, oh my gosh. Why that's the thing watching it now is like I can't watch this without thinking of all the memes. Yes. Oh my gosh, it's just like back then I don't think we like meme culture wasn't what it is today. Yeah. And so like now, like even the scene when Tony's in the background and does the like eye glare roll. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a meme. Mm-hmm. There's a meme. Like, you know, and that man is playing Galaga, you know. I mean, like all the all those things.
That little thing.
That was here. Yes.
And the whole Tony Stark like trying to close one eye to see how he drove the ship or whatever. Was it Tony Stark?
Yes, it was, yeah. Yep. And like when Tony and Steve like glare at each other and those are the like, you know, like that's been memed 1,000 times. Yes. Like, oh, it's just so good.
I got that reference. You understood that reference. Was that from this one, or was that?
Yes,
from,
okay, yes, okay. That was in this one. Okay. When Steve says, "Like, I understood that reference." Because he's been clueless to so many.
I remember
the whole time.
My father-in-law. He loved how Captain America was treated. Mm-hmm. I remember when he said his line. He goes, "Man, there's only one God, and he doesn't dress like that." And he claps. He's like, "Yeah."
It was. It's just so movie. Like. They're so unabashedly themselves in this movie. There's no trying to like sugarcoat anything. They all shine. Yep.
Hawkeye,
it just lifted straight from the pages of the comics. Hawkeye, that's another one. It's like he was only in one scene in Thor, and that was how it was introduced. And this movie is such a juggling act and it's amazing it came to end. Like, and Fury has only had cameos at this point. Well, he has a little bigger role in Iron Man 2, but still, like mostly cameos. And like they make him very integral to the story. They make Black Widow very integral to the
story.
This
was the first
they're all,
time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
This was the first time, I think, for whatever reason, I found out that it was Kevin Feige behind all this, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so he's been the one kind of behind all of this. Wow. And then I didn't know his history with the company and stuff like that. So.
Right. And this just shows the, like, I mean, yes, he was the main architect. And then you had all these other creators, like, you know, and I mean, people are like, and forget that, like, they did not have this massive plan from the beginning. Like, they were still, you know, kind of like, drawing it up as they went along.
The contrary,
but still,
to popular belief now. It's like, kids, you have no idea. Like, come on.
They did not have the Infinity Saga mapped out for years and years. But still, they made it all work here, and it came out.
What was next movie after this?
So there was a break, and then it was Iron Man 3.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. So, because at this point, like, this was the only movie in 2012. Iron Man 3 was not until fall of 2013. So this was a time when, like, there was, like, it was not like they were putting out a movie, like, every few months like they do now. Like, I mean, well, of course, now it's slowed down a little bit. But, like, and there was that buildup in the anticipation. But yeah, there was a big gap between this and then,
they just kind of rolled the dice with Thanos at the end of this one. Cause I remember hearing like they didn't know kind of where they wanted to go, but
And it's like they'd had Infinity Stones planned, but yeah, absolutely. They did not have this big, you know, end game plan yet. But they dropped that. And I still remember that reaction of like, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like they're being Thanos. They're like, that was so cool.
I didn't know who Thanos was.
Right.
I thought it was, I forgot who that was, but some sort of meme or something, but
Yeah. But there's just so much of this movie that still holds up. I mean, yes, there are better MCU movies, I think, now. But in terms of just the magnitude of what this was and what it meant when it came out, we just never thought, like, wow, they would do an Avengers movie like this or a Justice League or anything like that.
And they were so creative in the battle of New York. Like,
yes,
the whole thing with, like, Iron Man kind of bouncing it off of Cap's shield and stuff like that.
Yes.
And the Hulk and the way he was like kind of struggling through the battle, and they were, it kind of like, it kind of makes me think of the final battle of Return of the Jedi, that there were so many moving pieces going on and they just kind of put it together so well.
Yep. Oh, and like Black Widow bouncing off Cap's shield and jumping onto a Chitauri cruiser, like all that, you know, like, I mean, there's just so much. And of course, the iconic tracking shot, you know, you'll never forget the first time you saw that with the Alan Silvestri score pulsating in your ears. It was just awesome. Yeah.
Oh, and the whole, this is where the Hulk and Thor kind of had their,
they do have their, yep,
their,
the little buddy cop romance brewing. I mean, I still remember the laughter that ensued when Hulk smashes Loki to pieces after
that
he insults him. He's like,
so funny.
Puny god. You know, like,
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was like, that's hilarious. First thing I thought they were going to go through the floor. It's like,
right,
how's
right,
that for
right.
me to hold them? But I was like, oh,
I know, okay, right? Yeah. But there's just so much about this one that, like, yeah, it still holds
and
up.
How
it's
the
like,
Battle
yeah,
of
yeah.
New York was such a pivotal plot for the whole rest of the, for like probably a good 10 movies after that, you know? It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
It was a part of the whole storyline.
And even in the, like, in the Netflix yep. Marvel shows, yep. they have, maybe they alluded, you yep. know, they have the, Ben Urich has the paper, the mm-hmm. newspaper with the headline he wrote, you know, I mean, yeah. Yeah, all that. So it's, this was just a gargantuan, it's like, we, you know, I think if, like, you have new MCU fans coming to, you know, like, younger generations watching these now, like, it's like, hey, there was a time where, like, this was just a huge deal for
massive.
All these characters to come together. And there's never going to be something quite like it, you know?
Just not for the nerds, yeah. too. It was
right, right,
huge.
Right.
Like, my
oh,
in-laws
was
and my dad. And
yep, yep.
My dad told me stories that they were talking about it at work and stuff. Like, it's wild. It was wild.
It was just this pop culture juggernaut that you had to be a part of. Mm. And, you know, and I think now it's like the MCU is kind of, you know, we'll see. I'm really curious what will happen with Doomsday. Is it going to have that effect? But... Oh, yeah. At that time, it was like, yeah, you couldn't go to work or school if you hadn't seen the latest movie. You had to, you know, be in tune with the conversation.
I remember this was where Dark Knight Rises was it, you said?
It was about 2 months later. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember going because I remember I wanted to see this Avengers more times than I saw Batman because... I didn't like, mm-hmm. like how Batman finished.
right. That's fair.
I was kind of like trying to stick it to the man.
No, that's fair. I mean, yeah. I could do a whole episode on
Dark
Knight
trilogy.
I saw this
probably three or four times. Yeah. And yeah. I think I saw Dark Knight Rises maybe just twice or something like that.
Yeah. And anyway, Amazing Spider-Man was that year as well. So it was.
Was it like, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I saw it then, though. I don't think I did.
Yeah.
Oh, possibly.
That was quite the year.
Cool, yep. man. Cool.
But yeah.
Fun times.
Well, that's the Avengers. And Evan, before we go, so if you had to rank all three of these movies, you know, I didn't give mine, but where would you put in terms of top? Or if you, I don't know if you want to do maybe number three, number two, number one.
Number three, Thor, two, Captain, and one, Avengers.
Yeah.
I think if you don't have that, you are wrong.
No, we have the same ranking for this one. It was really fascinating doing the last episode. I had you watch it, like Iron Man 2 and Hulk 1. Mm-hmm. Christian and I had very different answers there. True. But the Fox X-Men trilogy and this one, it's very unanimous. But yeah. And even that, the only thing I was like, I actually do put Avengers and First Cap pretty close together. I think Avengers gets a point above just for being the juggernaut that it was and like bringing them all together. But I really do love the
and
First
for
Cap
me,
movie.
Though, I really like Thor, so...
Yeah.
So Thor is just under Captain America for me.
That's fair. Yeah. So, awesome. Well, this is... I'm loving this series. It's an absolute blast to go through all these. So, And if you're listening, watching out there, you know, share your thoughts with us. We want to hear what your rankings would be, any insights that you have that we missed. And, I'm really enjoying watching all these. And, you know, any Easter eggs you find that may lead to clues about Doomsday, I'm, you know, geeking out on all of that. So, thank you all for being with us. This was so much fun. And remember, we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests. Avengers Assemble. Go eat shawarma.
Hey friends, it's your pal Will Rose here, and let me break the fourth wall a moment and look directly at you through the camera or speak directly to you in your earbuds. Yep, I'm talking to you, Susie. You too, Chad. You can now support Systematic Geekology on Fourth Wall. That's a website. You'll find all of our episodes, incredible merch like shirts and hoodies and mugs. Chad, I would love to see you in one of those shirts out in the wild.
You get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that you pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch.
You can support the show at different levels. You could join at the free level. Yep, we love free members, free support. Join it. Or you could become a sidekick for as little as $5 a month. You could join the elves and dwarves for $10 a month. You could become a wizard for $15 a month. Or you could go to divinity school and become a cleric for $20 a month. And that's way cheaper than going to seminary, believe me. Or at $25 a month, you could become a superhero. And let me just say, we love all of our listeners, whether you support us at the free level or the superhero level. We love you. We love geeking out with you. Like, support, share the show. Love you.
Hello, friends. This is Andy Walsh. Thanks for listening. If you're going to be a systematic geek about this podcast, you need to know that it's part of the Inado Podcast Network. Other shows in the network include the Whole Church Podcast, where Joshua Knoll and TJ Blackwell spent over 7 years now in pursuit of church unity through education and conversations with leaders across divisions. 7 years, that's a podcast that has lost some baby teeth. My Seminary Life with Brandon Knight, where he began discussing what he learned as a seminary student and is now learning with the listeners in a continuing lifelong education. The Bible After Hours with the Foul-Mouthed Preacher, where he critically examines the modern church through satire, then provides a more progressive reading of Scripture. And the Homily with Pastor Chill Will from Chapel Hill, where Will Rose's homilies are periodically updated and made available through the podcast, always reminding us that we are loved with a love deeper than words. Thanks again for listening, and remember, if you're going to geek, do it systematically.